Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games, of an SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us by a talkcast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talkshoe website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. Either one, you will find us. And of course, we are co-broadcast over on the twitch.tv website. So just go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call and you'll find us there. Obviously, if you want to, you also can watch us and listen to us on the app itself. And I'm always looking at the chat room and trying to respond to anyone there. I will not type in. I will be talking in response. And, of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my accounts there are sfuoncall, obviously, where you can follow me and find out what's the topic for this evening. And also, if you want to, you can reply to me there. Also, I have a personal account called Paul Franz. That's PaulFranz. Just note, I'm a rabid O's fan. Well, very much an O's fan. I'm very proud of being Catholic. And also, I love text. If any of those bother you, don't follow me. And of course, I have the tertiary account, Franz Games. So you just want to keep an eye on what's happening at Franz Games, you know, SFB Online and FedCom Online, and of course, Starfleet Warlord, then just follow me there so you can tweet, you know, trim your tweets to whatever list of messages you want to follow. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. And some quick news from A2B this week. They just added the Federation Commander boosters number 37 and 38 onto their online store. That is, in those are the Federation CCL, you know, the light command cruiser. You have the command war destroyer. We have the Zinti medium command cruiser. Then the leader, the war destroyer leader. We have the Hydran Lion, Warrior, and Apache. The Klingon D5L, F5L, and FWC. The Lyran war cruiser leader and war destroyer leader. And the Wynn war cruiser leader. And the Vudar war cruiser leader and war destroyer leader. So those are all in those two boosters. So, if you want more ships for the Federation Commander, they go get them. Which I might be doing exactly that a little bit later tonight. Some quick news from SFB Online tournaments. We just had the Master Tournament. It's still going strong. Actually, I thought they had finished round one. They have not. They had a problem with round one, game six, which I think was my game. No, I think mine was game eight. But they got two replacement players on game six. I'm not sure why they're having so much problems with that. I know me, because I forgot, you know. Moving on to the FedCom libraries. Sorry, I've not got a chance to continue working on those and going through those ships. This seems like a large pile and okay, I'm not sure what I should be doing. So I need to work through that. At least this weekend, I should start working on what's going on with that. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, Samuel Neil Poffman, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. And that's why, my dear friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears, or maybe at least your earlobes. That's we are going to be talking about the had a little discussion with myself, which is going to be weird, but it's hard when you're both sides of the conversation, you know. But a classic, to me, it's classic because I play the Andromedans all the time. But to me, it's classic and one of the more difficult battles. But it's I have to say interesting ones. One that I think the Andromeda has a chance to win. Wow, Jag's up 14-0. And at the same time, the Andromeda, he can win, but it's a difficult one. So they're, in my mind, they're very well matched overall between the two. And the one thing that I am really happy about and I'm really ecstatic about, which is one of the things that happened the past year or so, is that ADB finally updated the Andromedan ship. So let me do one quick thing for those people on video, and is that I'm going to just show what the ship is. And for those just listening on the podcast, basically it's the Andromedan with two TRHs, the normal six phaser twos, you know, two front half, two left side, two right side, three batteries. So it's got to be careful about battery usage. Paul Scott thinks it only needs two. I totally disagree. I think he's insane. I think Paul Scott might be able to play with two batteries, but us mere mortals, i.e. me, no way. I'm sorry. I just would not be able to do that. That's weird. Okay. Anyway, I am streaming on Twitch. But anyway, and it has, you know, the two APRs, two impulse, and 24 warp, which I still think it's a little low on the energy side, but at least it now has the two tier heavies, which I think is critical. I would prefer four TRLs, and I've talked about this before, but I'll describe it anyway for those listening tonight, which is that the reason why I like the four TRLs, give it four TRLs and give it a little more warp, a little more power, not warp, but a little more power, because of, yeah, it takes one more power to charge all those versus two TRHs. But the one thing that I like about having four TRLs is, actually, there's two things I like about it. Number one, it reduces the issue with rolling. You can average it over four rolls instead of two rolls. So you have a lot more, a greater possibility to do something, do some more damage. Now, if you've ever looked at the charts, four TRLs in theory, in certain rolls, can do less damage than two TRHs. So that's another thing that if people wanted to tweak the Andromeda a little down, that's another reason too. But one another thing, the reason why I would prefer four TRLs is internals. Because currently, the Andromeda has the same issue that the Hydran has, in my mind. The Hydran and the Andromeda have the same issue, which is Mizzia will kill it. Because if you have both those TRHs, boom, you're dead. Goodbye. Good night. Have a nice night. You know, thank you for the game. To get there, yeah, it takes work. That's the one thing that the Andromeda has over the Hydran when it comes to that, which is getting to that point is a lot harder than versus a Hydran, because the Hydran only has 30 box shields, while the Andromeda at, you know, worst case is a 40 box shield. I'm thinking about, you know, if you hit through the rear, it's 40 boxes instead of 60 boxes. And Lord, I don't want to talk about that one, which is the Andromeda versus Hydrogen, which is, I hate that because of the one thing when it comes to that matchup is, of course, the problem with the Hellbore, because the Hellbore hits both front and back, so you can't do the whole toggling thing to move energy around or to move energy from your pallets into your batteries unless you know that the Hydrogen does not have a Hellbore available, because otherwise if he can fire it, even at long range he can fire it, and he could possibly get internals on you. If obviously the question would be, at longer range, if I was a Hydran at long range and Andromeda dropped his panels, would I actually fire my Hellbore? If I had two Hellbores, I might fire one at long range. That's in the case of where I would not be able to close in with him, or he would not be able to close in with me for a while, because of if I hit, and you have a better chance in the for the Hellbore. In some cases, I don't know the chart off my head because I don't use a Hellbore that much, so I don't have the charts memorized like I do. For the most part, I got the charts pretty memorized for the Andromeda tier heavies, and of course the disruptors and phasers, for the most part. Like for the phaser twos, range zero at six, you know, half sixes, half fives. Hey, Iggy, when it comes to range one or two, it's like five, you know, five, I think it's six, five, one, six at five and fours. The thing is, I really fired that range, so I never know. Usually it's range three, which is half, you know, top three is fours, top bottom three are threes. And then after range three, then four to eight, you know, it's not that great for a phaser twos. So I know those are a lot better than I do when it comes to the Hellbores. But, you know, I'd probably fire it. Now, the matchup that I want to talk about tonight actually is the Zinni. Well, fortunately, as I said, we got the two TRHs are back, because here is always the issue when it comes to the Andromedan, which is it needs the two TRH. It needs the punch to be equivalent to the punch of other galactics. Because the issue that I had with, you know, the original, the muted or nerfed Andromeda, is that they trimmed it down to like three TRLs, or possibly two TRLs, and then you have two additional phaser twos. It's like, what the heck, man? Now, to be honest, I appreciated having eight phaser twos, because the eight phaser twos, the Zinni, when it comes to its drones, are a heck of a lot easier to deal with. I did like that. Did I like it for every other situation? No, I did not. So, I always felt like, and I think Paul Scott felt this way too, which is why he said, you know, all it needed to do was keep the original, way back when, Andromeda, which had more center hull, more power, because I think when it first came out, it had four AWR. I think I had four impulse, but that one I'd have to go back into the archives and find out what the original module T. I don't even have that one anymore. I might. But the original one where it had AWR, which was great because, of course, what's the issue? for the Andromeda, Andromeda has to use warp power to charge the Dizzy Dev. So that automatically slows it down when it has to charge the Dizzy Dev. So it can't be going speed 30 and heading. Right, it doesn't have enough power to do that, I don't think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So it's always a pain. So anyway, the Zinni, of course, if you've ever looked at the Zinni, one thing about the Zinni is that it's got those four disruptors, it's got four phaser ones, and it's got a heck of a lot of phaser threes. Now, for the Andromedan, that's fine. Except, you know, obviously the one thing that Andromeda does not want to do in that situation, of course, is to get too close, because that's when, because there's nothing else for the Zinni to fire at. I have nothing. I have no seeking weapons of any sort, from shuttles to plasmas to drones. I don't have, as an Andromeda, you don't have any of that. So those phaser threes are going to be used for one or two things: close in combat, in which case the Andromeda wants to get into range three. Now, range three is not bad with phaser threes. It's when you get a little closer to like range one. That's when the phaser threes really start to hurt. I mean, really start to hurt. That's when it's like fours, and then the bottom five and six is three. You hit with 3 points of damage. And then range zero, it's all fours except for the number six, which is a three. So nothing's guaranteed with phaser threes. But anyhow, now, so, and the Zinni, you know, unlike some other vessels, the Zinni has plenty. Hey, Chris. The Zinni has plenty of internals. It has lots of hull, lots of forward hull, which means, unlike the Klingon, which we discussed last week, the Zinni has enough hull, so it doesn't have to worry about losing its reserve warp or reserve power, which I think is critical, especially when it comes to the Andromedan and any other ship that there's a possibility that you might be doing a knife fight. For ships like, if you're Zinni versus, let's say, a Romulan or a Gorn. Well, definitely not the Gorn. I'm just thinking about the turn mode. Gorn of turn mode D, you're not going to do a knife fight. Heck, you might not do a saber dance just because the turn mode is so bad. And yes, the one thing about, if you want a Gorn versus a Zinni, when it comes to a knife fight, is that, of course, the Gorn has phasers all over the place. But, of course, that's also a problem, is that he has phasers all over the place. So, in some, he can concentrate a lot of it, but not all of it in that case. When it comes to the Andromedan, obviously, it can never concentrate all its firepower except for when it's centerline, because of the left side, right side phaser twos. But it's got a turn mode of B. The Zinni has a turn mode of C. That means that knife fight, the Andromeda wants to be in there, because one thing it can do, I've seen it, but I have not seen it personally. I've seen it described, at least by Paul Scott, which is basically it's called. Okay, I'll go back in history just a little bit here. When Paul Scott came on the scene, when it comes to the Andromeda, he said it was unbeatable. And I go, hey, what the heck? You know, when you fight it, you fly in, you hit, and then you displace away. And he's saying, no, you don't do that, which is why. And who came up with the stealth kind of, that kind of, the initial tactic for the Andromedan, that was called the South Carolina, the South Carolina tactic, the way of playing the Andromedan, which is come in, displace away. And then Paul Scott came in, he's from Jersey. So the New Jersey style of it was to come in, stay close, and have a knife fight. And the Andromedan uses the displacement device to get on the down shield when he needs to. Because obviously the one thing you always have to remember about the down shield and about that displacement device is that your fire is disrupted. Your fire control is disrupted for 4 impulses. So if you displace away, you cannot fire a weapon. Well, to that. But you can't fire a weapon at your opponent for the next 4 impulses. So if you displace to a down shield, whoop-de-doo, he's got 4 impulses to react to that. Now, if you do that on a time when he turns and you displace so that by the time that he moves ahead, you're now a down shield. Yeah, that's the way to go, because of that would requires him to do something extraordinary, i.e. to het. And forcing him to het makes him use the resources. Of course, if he hets, well, on your first attack run, when you still have your het bonus, you can het too, which is quite excellent. Now, the one thing I wanted to append to that, to add on to that, which is of course just a reminder that the Andromedan can fire with his fire control disrupted, but it's limited to firing defensively. So it can't fire offensively against like a ship, but it can fire defensively. But of course, it's going to be firing with passive fire control. So you know, everything, all the ranges are now doubled. So obviously, you don't want to fire on that unless you are at range 1. Because that will double to range 2, and that's, you have a decent chance of actually destroying like drones and so forth, even when you've, and that's when you actually would fire phaser too. This is always the goofy part about those stupid phaser 2s. As the stupid phaser 2s will never guarantee you, except for really close, like I think range 0, won't guarantee you that you actually will destroy destroy a type 1 drone. So to say the very least, that is quite annoying. Okay, I'm just to make sure I remember this, I'm just bringing up, yep, I was right. Range 1, this is range 1 for a phaser 2, 5-5-4-4-4-4-3. So there's, it doesn't even at range 1 with the phaser 2, it does not guarantee that it's gone. So that's why, unless you want that extra possibility, or if you really want to drain your phaser capacity, which is possible with the Andromedan, here's one of those goofy things with the Andromedan that will happen time to time. And I can't say I've actually done it. I think I've done it maybe once or twice. It's a rare thing indeed when it comes to the Andromeda, which is actually, you're allowed to, as an Andromeda or any other ship, why would you ever do this? But as an Andromedan, you would do this, which is you can fire your phasers at just some innocuous piece of space rock floating in space, which might not do damage to you, but allow you to actually drain your fire capacity so that you can recharge it, so that you can, using your battery, so you can empty your battery, so you can actually get your energy out of your panels. So, it's that crazy thing about being an Andromeda. And Lord knows, I'm not sure how many of you out there play Andromeda. I play Andromeda a lot. And I know the one thing is constantly on my mind. What's constantly on my mind is that, how do I get the energy that's in my panels into the battery, at least out of my panels, period? How long does it have to stay? What can I do? I'm constantly thinking of ways, whether it means draining my phasers, going extra fast, faster than I really want to go, just so I can drain my batteries. Whether it means charging, start charging something early. Not early. Delaying in some cases. I've done this, which is when I'm low on energy, is plan on having energy later on in the game, later on in the turn. And so that for the Andromedan, what I would do is I would not charge my TRs if it's the first turn of recharging. Not charge my TRs or one TR, and then wait for me to bring the energy back into my batteries, and at that, take the energy out of my batteries, suck it into my TRs, and start charging them midway through the first turn of arming. Now, the one thing, obviously, it's like a wild weasel in that you can't, if I charge, I have to make sure that I get the energy into the weapon before 8 impulses, before the end of the turn. Unless I don't plan on firing in the first 8 impulses of the next turn. The energy has to be in there for a certain period of time. So it's crazy. Yeah, Chris, I didn't. Yeah. Well, Chris, anytime you want to play against an Android, I'm happy to do it. So what that means is, when it comes to the Zinni, of course, the Zinni, what does the Zinni want to do when it comes to the Andromeda? The Zinni wants to drain that battery. That's number one. Number two, you want to use your disruptors as much as possible. Why? Because of it causes more degradation against the panels. It does, which I think overall sucks, but okay. I still want to bring back the old explosion strength rules. Oh, those are beautiful ones. Yeah, Andros are weird, Iggy. And that's why I like them. Just like I like playing Saltorians. But anyway, so that's what. And another thing, which of course the Zinni has to do against the Andromedan, what's the one thing it has to do? It has to split up its drones, because the Andromedan is one of those few ships in the tournament that actually has a T-bomb. So when it comes to the tournament, if you have your nice stack of your drones, like launching from your scatter pack, what's going to happen? They're going to die real fast. Drums going to go pop out that nice little T-bomb and boom, all your drones are gone. Which is why, have you ever seen Zinni play against an Andromedan? That is true, Chris. The drums are from another galaxy, and that's why they're weird. And that is that you'll see that the Zinni, when you have the scatter pack here, you'll have the drones coming off this way and this way, any way they can, so that it can split them up. Usually they're split up in like groups of two. You have two going off one direction, two going another direction, two going another direction. And if can be, if it had, if they all have to go the same direction, because that's a possibility that the Andromedan has set it up so that when the drones actually boom. Actually, no, the problem is if they're centerlined, here's the fun part. The Andromeda can't do anything about it. Because of if the Andromeda goes and centerlines the scatter pack. So when the scatter pack, you know, poof, explodes, blossoms, that red center line, that means at that point the drones can be in three different directions because they just have to be in front arc. They don't have to go directly in the direction of the Andromeda when they're launched. Nothing says that. So, in that case, that's the worst. So the best is actually off center line. So there's only two directions that are possible. Now, even with that, what can happen invariably is that you'll see the Zinni player. Even if they stack it, they can in theory they can stack it just a single stack, and then slowly side slip them away. Like one goes straight, like two goes straight, two sideslip, and then they'll be split. So they can set it up so that it is actually, you know, on different hexes. And you can, which is interesting, but it's smart for the Zinni so that worst case scenario, and that if the timing is perfecto, you can actually get all six if they're in a group of three hexes. In theory, because of the T-bomb effects all the way out to range one. So if you time it perfectly as an Andromeda player, you can get all six. Is that possible usually? No. The timing is just so critical on that, it's hard to get. So invariably, you might get two or you might get four if you're lucky. Because of the whole timing issue. In which case, the rest of them you have to phaser down with your phasers. Now, what does that do? That limits what the Andromeda can do against the Zinni when it comes to offensive potential. Because it decreases the number of phasers that you're actually going to fire against the Zinni. So you only that leaves you only the TRs. And yet, because the Andromeda player then has to, it's required to, just because of the Zinni has some nasty surprises for it. And this is one of those reasons why sometimes you don't want to use that T-bomb against the scatter pack. And here's why. Unlike the Klingon has a big whopping four fast drones. So that's four. The Zinti has eight. This is, and what's the beauty of that? And what's the that's not just the test eight fast drones. That's not the only issue. You've got the other issue. I'm sorry, it gets me upset. That he gets three type fours instead of two type fours. So, I remember the original Andros. I remember the original rules for the Andros, and Lord knows, I wish I could go back in those days because it was glorious. Unfortunately, back in those days, I didn't know how to play the Andromedans. It was awful. It wasn't until actually I started playing with in tournaments in the Andros, and I actually started reading about the Andros and how the batteries worked and the panels and all that kind of thing, that I actually back when the solid ships had TR heavies. There was no separation between TR heavies and TR lights. Now, to be honest, it should have been TR heavy and TR lights, just like back in the day, the original, I forget how I heard about it, but I think, you know, the instead of having the destroyers have four light photons, you know, just saying, okay, the destroyers could, you know, they didn't have the power and energy, so they had lighter photons. They gave them, photons were photons. There actually was, and where is it? I think it was in the campaign design manual, where they actually had the idea of light photons. They added, and they actually described that originally there wasn't the idea of it, and that was going to be put on the destroyers were going to be light photons instead of having all the same kind of photons for all ships. And I forget why they didn't do that. I think there was a reason. But that's what they did, to change it from a Cobra with two TR heavies, four batteries, four hull, 20 warp, because it was not 2/3. I forgot the movement cost on the ship. It was a weird movement cost. It was like 4/5 or something like that. I forget. Yeah. On the FRE and Omega, they do have light photons, and I think that's where they got it from. Was they originally had the concept, they wimped out when it comes to doing it for the Federation. But anyhow, where was I? Cynthia, guys, you distracted me. Dang. But anyway, so you know, the Zinzi is going to try keep the Andromeda from recharging. Now, when it comes to the drones, yeah, that was disruptors. That's what it was. Not disruptors, the drones. When it comes to the drones, you know, they have the three heavies. What does that mean, though? What that means is that you can have those eight. You have two. You can have two volleys from the Zinni. He can have a volley which is devastating, which is really nasty, which is a volley of one tier, you know, one type one and three type fours, which basically will overrun the Andromeda. You can't face that. That's always the issue. And remember, the Andromeda only has two labs. And don't get me started about the probes. Because I actually explicitly asked that ask Steve Petrick about that, which is, can you use probes in tournament play? And no, you can only use probes as a emergency weapon. You can't use probes as probes. What? Because the thing is, it's not just the Andromedans that would be able to take advantage at a cost. Because you have to charge those probes. And isn't that what people are looking for? They're looking for another energy drain for the Andromedans. Why not let them have probes? Because at that point, the probe then will allow them to actually identify one additional drone. Which is why, yeah, I find it goofy when it comes to probes in tournament play that you can't use probes as probes. You got five of them. Why can't? Because it's not just the Andromedans. The Orions would be able to take advantage of it because they don't have any labs either. Who else? There's some. I think, I forget, is it the Wynn Auxiliary? I think it's the Wynn Auxiliary battle cruiser. Also, it has only two labs. There, you know, but there's a few ships that only have like two labs versus the four labs. Or of course, you've got, I think the Klingons have three. I forget. Because right now I'm picturing the boom section of the Klingon. The Klingon, I always remember, has four front hull, and no, I'll say batteries, but I'm not right. Yeah, agreed. But anyway, getting back to that. So the Andromeda always has to keep watch for those fast drones. And that's why the Andromeda always will keep its T-bomb. It will keep its T-bomb on the ship until those fast drones come out. And unless the Andromeda can kill the fast drones, because the Andromeda can't outrun the fast drones. It cannot do it. It can outrun the twice-speed scatterpack drones. And if there are six of them, big whoop. You know what they are. They're all type ones. And invariably, what happens in that case is the Andromeda is just goes tink, 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 slowly but surely knocks down those drones. Unless it actually wants the drone to hit him, which every once in a while does happen. Because of the Andromeda is so low on energy, that it's like, I need a little bit of energy boost. I'm going to let the drone hit me. I'll take the degradation. I'll take the energy. And then I'll do a little and give me some more energy in the batteries and so forth. Or even, and this is being desperate at that point, which is, you know, just absorb it like the one point of battery power that you might get from a drone hitting you into the batteries at the end of the turn. So that being that. But that's why the Andromeda has to hold on to that T-bomb, because of if that Zinni ever gets the three type fours in flight with a type one, Andromeda's playing a guessing game. It can identify two of those drones. If I identify two of the heavy drones, what are the other two? Which one's the type one? Which one's the type four? Which is the one you want to kill? You want to kill the type four. Because you've got enough phasers, just enough, and that's if you play it right. And if you work it around, I'm assuming the Zinni's going to launch these drones on the off turn. The turn that the Andromeda does not have the Dizzy Dev available to him. In which case, the only thing he has to protect him are those phasers. He's got six phaser twos. He can kill three type fours. So the idea being is you can kill, of those four drones, you can kill three. And you want to try to kill the four type fours, not two type fours and one type one. Because getting hit by 12 is a heck of a lot easier to take than being hit by 24. It's a big difference. So that's why the Andromeda usually comes to the scatterpack of the Zinti, not the Klingon. The Klingon, who gives a crap, rat's butt about it, the Klingon. It will use the T-bomb against the fast drones. While the Klingon, I would, as the Andromeda player, I definitely would be doing against the T-bomb against the scatterpack. Because of, here's of course the thing with the Klingon. In theory, in some cases, you can just left the scatter, all, if you can run around those scatterpacks for when it comes to the Klingon and the Andromeda, do it. Why? Because of, if he wants to launch any drones at you, if you're coming in on him and those drones from a scatterpack are long away because they've been following you, and you can run away from those drones, assuming the situation is that case, then the Klingon is most probably going to drop tracking for some of those scatter packs because it only has, remember, it only has six channels versus the Xini, which has 12. And he'll get rid of the drones for you without anything you have to do. No firing weapons, no wasting energy, no wasting T-bombs, none of that. Understood, Chris. Chris is mentioning how he's not interested in Omega or LMC. For the SFU gets from the Star from Trek canon, which is the original Trek. Less interested he's in with that, and I can understand that. And I think that is the reason why everyone likes Alpha. Everyone likes Alpha, but really don't like the Omega or even the Trigon. But I'm still to this day, what I really would like to see is the Tholian Galaxy. That's what I would like to see myself. I think that would be really cool. Assuming they don't go crazy, you know. Now, LMC, I'll give Mr. Ken Burnside credit. They're interesting. And I understand he had a tough job. He had to design empires that could face each other, could put up a fight against the Andromedans, but lose in the end. That's a tough thing to create. But anyway, getting back to the topic for this evening. Now, for the Andromeda, what's the Andromeda want to do? The Andromeda wants to get close into the Xini, and of course, the Andromeda being the Andromeda, it's got like three battle passes. Maybe four, but normally it has like three battle passes to win the game. Because of it's running on a clock. That clock is being the degradation to its panels. Because repairing the degradation of panels takes way too long. You can repair at max. And against the Xini, you got to be careful about that. At max, you can repair 2 points of degradation per. That's powered. Now, if you want to, in theory, you can use your continuous damage repair to repair those degradations. Would you really want to use it? Only if you're desperate. Because, meaning you're farther in the game, you're low on power, but you need that degradation repaired. Versus, that's assuming that you have all your panels intact. Because you have all your panels intact, I mean, if one of your panels is gone, obviously, you're going to be repairing the panels before you repair degradation because of basically you're repairing 10 points of degradation by repairing the panel. Because when you repair a destroyed panel, you don't have to then go repair all the degradation. When you repair a destroyed panel, all degradation is zero for that panel. So it's So that's why you have a clock. The Andromeda has a clock. So it has to hit one shield and then try and hit that shield again. Now, if you can't hit the shield again, it can take another shield and that's fine. But on the third one, either you got to be really good and not have that much degradation against your ship to begin with, or when it comes to that degradation itself, in a situation where you will not be hit. There's no retaliatory strike against your ship because of on that third round, you got to hit one of those two shields that are down to win. You might be able to get away with it on a fourth battle pass, but normally you want three to get it. Four is possible, but you better really beat. This is why the TRHs are critical. And that is, the Andromeda needs to have the ability to punch through a shield on each battle pass. If it cannot, it's dead. So, changing from two TRHs to two TRLs, it's like, the Andromeda has no way of getting through it can get through, but it's very hard to get through the shields, because the shields are 30 shields, and then you might have some additional reinforcement, let's say 5. This is 5 points. 35. So, let's say you get to range 3 with TRLs. That's a maximum of 20 points of damage. Then if you get, let's say 4 phaser 2s, you max those out, that's 16. There's 36. You get one box. And that's assuming that even will go through. And that's also assuming, obviously, that you rolled well. So the Andromeda has no way of winning. If it can't be punching through a shield every single battle pass, it has no way to win. Because it can barely break through. You know, if it rolls well, yes, it can break through. If it doesn't roll well, it can have a damaged shield, but the shield won't go down. You know, because remember one thing about the Andromeda when it comes to TRHs, I'm going to at range 3, 0 to 3. It's 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. That's the first 4. 1 through 4 is 20. 18, 15. That's if you get to range 3. So if you fire 2 TRHs, you can get 30 points of damage. Now that assumes that you're able to fire your phasers against the Zinni. Are you going to fire your phasers? Most probably not. Because you're probably using those phasers to be fending off the drones that the Zinni is going to be firing at it, either post or pre the battle pass, because obviously it's a drone, disruptor drone ship, which means, of course, that you've got two ways of playing the drone game. You can launch them pre as a defensive mechanism, say, you know, get those drones ahead of you and say, okay, you deal with these, or have it so that you have to go around them, so, and therefore mobile terrain, and have it so that you can then, the Zinni can then controls the Andromeda and where the Andromeda does, or the Andromeda has to knock that down using his phasers, or post, where the Andromeda has to hold back his phasers because of what's going to happen later, assuming you didn't hit those drone wrecks, which is a good possibility you have not. It's possible you if you get internals, yes, you hit them, but that's one out of that battle pass, because it's rare that you're gonna be able to get Mizzy attacks, and then you have to hold those phasers so that when he launches those drones, you're able to do something about them, especially if you're running away, and he decides to launch those fast drones. And which he'll want to do that because he wants to get those rear sheet. He wants to get those rear panels, you know. And okay, this thing go to range 4 or 5 for tier heavies. Tier heavies. 20. Okay, so 1, 2, it's 20. Roll 3, it's 18. Roll 4, it's 15. Roll 5, it's 12. Roll 6, it's 9. 9. So you fire 2 TR heavies and they're both 6s. You roll a total of 18 points of damage. That's pretty much a whiff. And you're running away as fast as possible because of you got no damage, nothing to reduce the opponent's ship at all. And that's why the Andromeda almost has to get to range 3. Against some ships. Do you want to get the range 3? Heck no. Lirin, Fed, I'd say the Klingon, but I'm not worried about the Klingon at range 3, because the Klingon, as I mentioned, the UIM just, I hate the UIM when it comes to tournament play, when it comes to the Klingons, because they have no possibility of that UIM ever breaking down, and therefore there is no penalty for using a UIM. You know, bugs me. I'm not sure if you noticed that or not. But anyway, so the Andromeda can do either one. He can come in and play the knife fight. Overall, you know, depends on. I'm in China. Okay. That was funny. Okay, get back to it. Overall, when it comes to Zinni, what would I do? Invariably, I would play the using, you know, more New Jersey style versus South Carolina style, and so that I can come in and get close in and go around the Zinni. Now, obviously, the big problem with going around the Zinni is all those freaking phaser threes. But, of course, that means staying out of really close range to the Zinni because, fortunately, when it comes to the phasers, you know, if you can stay outside of range 2, you know, range 3, which is 3, 2, 1, yeah, he can beat up on you. But he's got an average of 1 point per. So, you know, is it worth it? Possibly, especially if... Here's the good part about him firing those phasers at range 3 at you. The good part about it is that he has to recharge them. So, if he has to go recharge them, that's more energy he has to use, the slower he's going to have to go. And, of course, with the Zinni being the Zinni slow, he doesn't worry about it too much. Andromedan, he worries about going too slow. Of course, you also can go too fast. I still remember that one tournament where I was put in a situation which I was dead or dead. You know, I either can die now or I could die later. And I figured I'll try to die later and try to save my butt. I had to het towards the wall, and knowing that I had no way of stopping me from going slamming right into that wall. Because when I did that, I actually was able to get some phasers on these heavy drones, which were coming down riding on my butt. And it was either basically let the heavy drones hit me or knock out the heavy drones and hit the wall. So I went, I'll hit the wall. Which was really interesting because always the tough part about hitting the wall is cranking up her speed again, and speed is life, especially for the Andromedan and SFB. And just a reminder to those who know that we keep an eye on the football. Thank you, David, for keeping an eye on the football. Currently, the game between the Jaguars and the Bengals. You said Beagles, but it's Bengals. It's now tied 14-14 late in the third quarter. I'm not sure how much. Given the podcast, I'm sure most of you don't care because I know what the final score is for the game, but this is what we do when it comes to fall in at SFU on call. So, given that, this reminds me of one thing. I wanted to check something. I'm hoping. Okay. Just making sure no one called in accidentally and I forgot them, which is possible. But anyway, so And the thing wouldn't mind you coming in close, but the good part about the bad part about the Zinni is front arc plus right, front arc plus left when it comes to the disruptors. So that they've got 180 degree arcs, so that even if you are you're keeping it on the rear half of the ship, except for directly back, he can fire those at least two disruptors at you at any moment in time, which is good when you get out of the front arc. And fortunately, you're turn mode B versus turn mode C, so you got a little bit of a turn mode advantage. And of course, when it comes to turn modes, the one thing you obviously want to keep an eye on when it comes to turn modes is keep an eye on those turn mode breaks. Let me see if I have it here. I'm looking for a moment. Da-da-da-da. And I don't. Ah, there's turn modes. So, in the case of B, B can go up to speed 5. I don't see an Andromeda ever going to speed 5. And have turn mode of 1. Can go all the way up to speed 10 and a turn mode of 2. All the way up to speed 15. And a turn mode of 3 versus turn C, it's going to be, you're going speed 14, you're going speed 15, then you're all the way up to turn mode of 4. So yeah, it's minor breaks, but those are the breaks that you have to take advantage of when it comes to saber dances and also knife fights. Obviously, when it comes to the Andromeda, the Andromeda's never going to do a knife fight because of the Andromeda himself is going to want to stay fast, minimum speed 15, because you want to be able to boost it up to 30 if you need to. While, you know, so that most probably you're going to be doing more of a saber dance, given those speeds. So I think we've had a nice discussion here about the Andromeda and the Zinni. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.